Title of my message this morning is Not Ashamed. Not Ashamed. My text will be Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Let me begin by making this statement. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, that's no great claim. It would be an abhorrent thing if I were. The Lord God declares that He's not ashamed to be my God. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's darling Son, declares that He's not ashamed to call me His brother. It would be unthinkably shameful for me to be ashamed of Him and His gospel. I solemnly declare with the Apostle Paul, before you and before God, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to everybody. I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, the Jew and the Gentile, the black and the white, the bond and the free, to everybody. I owe something to everybody. And that I owe is the free preaching of the gospel of God's free grace in Jesus Christ the Lord. That by which God has been pleased to save me, to make me whole, I owe to you. It is my responsibility, my obligation, my duty, my privilege, my debt, something that must be paid. That is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And I've been preaching the gospel of God's free grace for almost 50 years. I was just a boy of 17, barely 17, when I first began to preach. In all that time, my doctrine has not changed, not so much as an hair's breadth. Has changed. The message I preached then is the message I preach now. In all those years, I hope I've grown in the grace and knowledge of my Redeemer. I hope I'm growing in faith and love. I hope I'm growing in commitment and consecration to God. I hope God gives me greater understanding and greater wisdom. But my doctrine hasn't changed. In the very beginning, my testimony was, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And my message was Christ and Him crucified. And that has changed. The first message I preached to you as your pastor was Christ, our substitute, from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. The first message I preached to you when first I came to preach to you was the title, the same title, Christ our substitute, from the same text, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. And my message today is precisely what it was then. And I make you a promise, it's not going to change tomorrow. It's not going to change. I know folks change their doctrine. And if a fellow changes his doctrine, one of two things has happened. Either God saved him, and he learned that he didn't know the gospel, or he'd been paid off. One of the two. By some means or other, he'd been bought off. He'd been bought off. God's servants don't change the message. They don't alter the message to suit the society in which they live, or the people to whom they preach, or the preachers among whom they labor. They preach the gospel of God's free grace. My doctrine hasn't changed. It's not going to change. If you're looking for some other doctrine, you just have to go somewhere else. It ain't going to happen here, not while I breathe, God helping me. And some other pastor, how do you know? Because I'm not looking for anything. I found what I need, and I found what you need. I'm not ashamed to believe it. I'm not ashamed to confess it. I'm not ashamed to preach it, because it is the power of God unto salvation. to everyone who believes. If God will enable you to believe the gospel you hear from this pulpit this day, you will find that word to be made of God to you, the very power of God by which you're saved. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to every sinner who believes on the Son of God. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed. That's what the gospel is. It is the revelation of the righteousness of God. Not just the revelation of the fact that God is righteous. Everybody knows that. But the revelation of the fact that God has made men righteous by the doing and dying of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is revealed from faith to faith. God graciously condescends to take men like you and me, and by our confessing the righteousness of God, by confessing God's salvation in Jesus Christ, he takes that faith that he's given us and conveys faith to another by the proclaiming of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures speak plainly concerning these things. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the hope that the gospel gives forbids shame. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have hope. Blessed, comfortable confidence of life everlasting. Now let's look at Romans chapter 10 for a moment. I want you to know the gospel. I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God will make the word of his grace the power of God to your soul salvation this day. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're religious, religious, religious is all get out. They have religious cliches and religious sayings and religious habits and religious dress and religious proverbs, and they go to church and they give their money, and they are all excited about religion. They go on religious caravans and religious tours, and they are ignorant, just as ignorant as if they were monkeys. Have no knowledge of God. No knowledge of God. No knowledge of God. For they, being ignorant of that one thing, the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Being ignorant of God's performance of righteousness, God's accomplishment of righteousness by the doing and dying of his Son, God making sinners righteous. They're ignorant of that. So they go about to establish their own righteousness. And they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I try to look for wise responses to statements and comments men make about religious things. And driving home yesterday, I had a good while to think about it when Jeb and I weren't talking, religious comments and preachers doing this and preachers doing that. What are they doing? What's the church doing? What's the preacher doing? Are they? And don't leave it to just fellas to come up with whatever they want to. Are they telling you how to be good? Are they telling you how to be righteous? How to please God? How to make yourself righteous? How to live a good, godly life? That's it. That's what they're doing. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. That's what's going on all over the world. In fundamental, independent, conservative Baptist churches all over the world. In this town, across this state, across this nation, around the world, they're telling sinners how to make themselves righteous. Going about to establish your own righteousness. Because they don't know God from a billy goat. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. Utterly, now no need to get angry with them, they're ignorant. No need to be angry with a blind man because he can't see the sun. He's blind. But they're ignorant of God's righteousness, the very reason we are debtors and must proclaim the word of the gospel of God's grace is because folks are dying without it. Read on. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up, bring up Christ again from the dead? The law of faith doesn't say, what shall I do? What shall I pay? The law of faith says, it's done. What saith it? Verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now look at our text, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Here, God the Holy Ghost tells us that faith enables sinners like you and me. Faith in Christ, believing on the Son of God, enables and causes men and women who know and confess and acknowledge themselves nothing but sin to stand before God unashamed. Unashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now let's look at this text line by line for just a few minutes. The text first begins with divine authority, an assurance of divine authority. The scripture saith. The scripture saith. What is the basis of the message we proclaim? What is the basis of your faith? What is the basis of all that we declare in this generation? The scripture saith. That's all. The scripture saith. In this age of enlightened darkness and learned ignorance, I proclaim the gospel of God's free grace with confidence and authority that cannot be gainsaid. The scripture saith. Let others tickle men's ears and flatter their egos, appealing to creeds and confessions and historic records and religious philosophy if they dare. This is my only authority. The scripture saith. The scripture saith. The sole basis of my appeal to your souls is the word of God. Now, in making this book, and this book alone, the basis of my appeal, in making the word of God alone the source of my doctrine, in making this blessed book the source of all authority, I'm in good company. This is exactly what our Lord did. This is exactly what his apostles did in their own preaching. The statement, the scripture saith, is conclusive. When God speaks by his word, that's the end of the matter. Nothing else to be discussed. You may recall a few weeks ago I had an article in the bulletin. It might have been just last week. I can't remember. What saith the scripture? And I just quoted scripture. Just quoted scripture. Do you know how enraged men are by some of the things that were made, stated in that? Just quoting scripture? Well, it's the way you said it. Folks, they can't stand it. They want something else. The scripture saith. That's all. That's all. That's the basis of all that I had to preach to you. The basis of all that I believe. This book is indeed the word of God. It is inspired. It is authoritative. It is inerrant. It is absolute. What the scripture says is so. Whether it matches with your experience or not is irrelevant. Whether it matches with science or not is irrelevant. Whether it matches with your emotions or not is irrelevant. Whether it matches with what your mom and daddy taught you or not is irrelevant. What the book says is so. And we bow to the book. We bow our reason. We bow our feelings. We bow our experiences. We bow what we've been taught. We bow everything to the book of God. What does the scripture say? Nothing else matters in any degree with regard to anything spiritual or religious. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this book, it's because there's no light in them. And the message of this book is what? That which is taught in Exodus, where Brother Lynn's been teaching the last several weeks, and that which is taught in Romans, that which is taught in Genesis, and that which is taught in Revelation, that which is taught in Malachi, and that which is taught in Matthew is exactly the same doctrine. It's exactly the same doctrine. God saved Abraham the same way God saved you. God saved Abraham by grace, by the revelation of Christ, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God saved you, if you're saved, by his grace, by revealing Christ in you, and having revealed Christ in you, giving you faith in his dear Son. That's the only way God has ever saved anyone, and that's the way, only way God ever will save anyone. The message of the book is authoritative, and the message of the book is one. The passage to which Paul is referring in our text is Isaiah 28 and verse 16. He doesn't really quote the text, but rather he gives us the sense of the text. He tells us that which was the sense of Isaiah 28. Turn back there for a moment. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. When we speak the word of God, we don't just repeat what the scripture says, but we give out the sense of what scripture says. That's what preaching is. It is opening up the word, telling out the doctrine of the scriptures. Look here in Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. What's the sense then of the text? What's Paul saying? What does Isaiah say? What's the Spirit of God saying? He who believes on the Son of God is safe and comfortable and secure. He'll not be afraid of evil tidings. He rests his soul on the doing and dying of God's darling Son, and that's all. He's not shaken. He's not turned off. He's not ashamed. He that believes on the Son shall not make haste. This word of God itself, I repeat, is the solitary basis of all true faith. Now here's the second thing we see in our text, Romans 10, verse 11. Not only is the gospel we preach a matter of divine authority, it sets before us a very wide door of hope. Thrown wide open. Just thrown wide open. Whosoever believeth. That's a good word. Whosoever. I'm glad the text doesn't say if Don Fortner will believe. If it read if Don Fortner will believe, I know myself well. I'd convince myself Marky was talking about another Don Fortner. And there are not many of them around. I had never seen another one until I moved to Danville. And that one was a little short, red-headed preacher. Had one of them Ronald McDonald hairdos, looked like he had his fingers in a socket somewhere. And it sure wasn't me. But I'd be convinced if he said Don Fortner's talking about him, it wasn't talking about me. But whosoever, I sure fit that. that makes room for me. That makes room for you. The word is whosoever. 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 Don't be afraid of it. Whosoever is a good word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever will, let him come. There's no secret decree of God that will shut any man out of Christ who comes to Christ. No measure of sin in the past can deprive you of grace. God promises salvation to whosoever believeth on the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Whosoever believeth on the Son of God. Well, Brother Don, I can't believe him like I ought to. I don't have faith like I ought to have. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Now, I know the folks who think they're theologians, they've got to get everything figured out and explain it so perfectly that they explain it away. You know, when I'm thirsty, I can't believe these days you have to pay a dollar for a bottle of water, but you get it at the store, buy that stuff that's supposed to be purified. Do you know what I've never done? You know what I have never done? I know some folks think I'm dumb, but if I'm thirsty and there's a bottle of that cold water in the refrigerator, and I get something, want something to drink, I pick it up, take the cap off, take a drink. I have not to this day read the label. I don't care who makes the stuff. I don't care whether it came from down here across the bridge in Kentucky, or whether it came from Colorado, or where it came from. I don't care where this came from. And it's not even sealed. And I'm not likely to investigate it to see what all it contains. Let's see if it's good water. That's just what I wanted. I just take a drink. And I know there are other brainy folks who spend their lives. You can probably go to one of the finest universities in the world and get a degree in waterology. And you can study water all your life. Put it under a microscope and find out. Tell you about bugs and things in that you can't see. And things that, had it come from this place or that place. Is it water? Is it cool? Is it refreshing? Will it quench your thirst? Take a drink. I proved it. And I'm not going to try to rob anybody of the fresh water of life. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And the Son of God says, I give it to you. I'll give it to you. Now, look at our text again. Here's a clear declaration of the way of salvation. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Salvation doesn't come by doing, but by believing. Salvation is not obtained by believing facts about Christ, but by believing on the Son of God. Faith stands in Christ alone. I know whom I have believed. Faith stands upon Christ with both feet, leaning only upon the Lord. Not feelings, but Christ. Not experience, but Christ. Not church ordinances, but Christ. Not works, but Christ. Not knowledge, but Christ. Both feet fixed on the rock of ages. Christ alone and Christ only is our hope. What do you mean, Pastor? I trust that man yonder seated on the throne of God, who is God in my flesh. I trust his shed blood for all atonement for my sin. I trust his blood for all the satisfaction of God's angry wrath and his holy justice. I trust his obedience as the man in human flesh who walked on this earth for 33 years for all my righteousness. I trust his grace alone for my salvation. Faith, trust Christ, only Christ. Now, look at this text one more time. Here is a glorious, glorious promise made by God the Holy Ghost to every sinner who believes on the Son. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now those words are found, that promise is found, in numerous places in the scriptures. And each place is found has a slightly different shade of meaning. The first we saw back in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. The promise was, whosoever believeth shall not make haste. Every other foundation shall be destroyed, but this foundation stone, Christ Jesus, stands forever and cannot be destroyed. And those who are built on this foundation do not make haste. They'll not be shaken from this foundation. They'll not be frightened to flee from this foundation. They'll not be pushed off this foundation. Sin and Satan shall not overcome them. The awful hour of death will not cause them to be confounded, because their heart stands fast, believing upon Christ Jesus the Lord. When a sinner builds his hope upon Christ, he's not driven into worry and hurry, but rather he quietly walks with God. He's not in haste. He quietly walks with God. I don't mean by that he doesn't have trouble. I don't mean by that he doesn't have pain. I don't mean by that he doesn't feel things. In many ways, God's people in this world feel things like others cannot. I stood alone yesterday for just a few minutes at some distance back. Looked at my sister's body lying in that wooden box, getting ready to drop her in the earth, and realized that probably as much pain and as much difficulty and much sorrow as all the other friends and family had, there were few, if any, in the room next door. Who knew my sorrow, my gratitude to God for his grace to me, and my sorrow at her loss. There are things that the believer experiences that cause indescribably greater pain than the unbeliever can ever know on this earth. We know things beyond the grave, and the loss is felt, painfully felt. But in the midst of heaviness and sorrow, and some of you have been there before me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll not make haste. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They'll not make haste. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Believe also in me, the Savior said. And then we find this same promise given in Romans 9 and verse 33. Romans 9, 33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The word ashamed here, it means to be dishonored, disgraced, put to shame, made ashamed, made to blush with shame. A person is put to shame who suffers rejection or has been deceived by a false hope. Let me give you two examples you'll be familiar with. Adam and Eve, Rex, when they had sinned, after Adam had taken the forbidden fruit, they made themselves fig leaf aprons and sought to hide from God, covering their shame. They had a covering, but they knew they were naked. They had a covering, but they blushed with shame. They had never known it before. Before, they walked around buck naked and didn't have any shame. Didn't have any shame because there was nothing to be ashamed of. But now they'd sinned against God, and they sought by covering their bodies to cover their souls and cover their hearts because they were naked. And they were ashamed. They were ashamed because their works were a thing that caused them to be repulsed by God. Exposed before God, they were ashamed. Cain and his brother Abel came to worship God one day, and Abel brought the first thing of the flock, and Cain brought a huge truckload of corn. Best corn you ever saw. And the Lord just walked right by that truckload of corn, didn't even peel back the shucks on it and look at it, and walked over and took Abel's sacrifice and accepted it. And Cain was enraged because he was ashamed. He'd been rejected. He'd been pushed aside. But they who trust the Lord Jesus shall never be ashamed and never be repulsed and never be rejected, never be pushed aside, but always accepted of God. Then here in our text we have the promise. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The word is exactly the same as we had in verse 33 of chapter 9. Some vainly imagine that they believe on Christ who are ashamed to confess him. But here the apostle is speaking directly in connection with this matter of confessing him. The word of God pierces with a razor sharp sword. And this is what the book of God says. Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Ashamed to confess the Savior. Ashamed to confess faith in Christ. Those who believe own up to being believers. They acknowledge that they're believers. They're not ashamed of the faith of Christ. That is, of his doctrine. They're not ashamed of the faithful obedience of Christ as their substitute. They're not ashamed of their faith in Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, confess him. Confess him in believer's baptism. They're not ashamed to be identified with Christ, but rather they take their place with him in the watery grave. I feel sorry for the man who has a wife he's ashamed to be identified with. I feel sorry for the woman who has a husband she's ashamed to be identified with. Oh, there's something wrong with that relationship. There's something wrong with that relationship. God's people are not ashamed to be identified with one another as God's people. And they're not ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not ashamed to bear witness of him. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. The believer shall never have cause for shame. We shall not be ashamed because our faith is proved to be unreasonable. We are never going to be ashamed because our faith has been disproved. We'll never be put to shame because of believing on the Son of God, because we shall find that faith in Christ is always satisfying to the soul, always satisfying to the conscience. Everything else is below that. Nothing else satisfies your soul. Nothing else satisfies your conscience. Look at one more text over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse 5. Ye also are lively stones, living stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, here is the very same word you find in Romans 9:33 and in Romans 10:11, but here the translators translated it confounded rather than ashamed. Reckon why. Did they just haphazardly say, well, it could mean this or could mean that? No, no. But rather, recognizing that one English word cannot fully translate the word that they translated in Romans 9 and Romans 10, ashamed, it could not fully translate it. Here in 1 Peter, the very same word is translated confounded. Because the believer, one who trusts Christ, you just can't shake him. you just can't shake him. Now, I have been in situations, particularly as a young believer, when I couldn't readily answer questions folks had. I couldn't readily answer arguments folks had. Our children going to college and high school and having to deal with these infidels who are professors and teachers, and that's what they are. They're just infidels, folks who hate God and hate humanity. They pretend to love everything except the problem is they love themselves. And so they try their best to dismantle everything about faith. And the young child, impressionable, the college kid who thinks they're, you know, smarter than the rest of the world and had to know everything, they're so impressionable and they're shaken. The professors try to shake their faith. And they can't answer all the questions. Can't answer all the questions. Well, you're going to have questions you can't answer. You're going to face situations you can't answer. You're going to deal with problems you can't answer. But he that believeth shall not be confounded. Just because you found out that there was something brilliant that you just had to, I couldn't believe the Bible and believe what I saw in the caves down in Mammoth Cave. I couldn't believe the Bible and deny what I see in the evolutionary processes of the world. Well, go ahead and take the caves and take the evolutionary process, if you take a notion. The believer will not be confounded. He'll not be confounded by men or devils. He'll not be confounded in this world or in the world to come. We shall have confidence before Christ and not be ashamed at his coming. We're safe now, being laid on this stone, and we'll not be removed from it or intimidated by anyone to flee from it. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I read years ago a statement concerning the death of that infamous lying man who called himself an atheist, Voltaire. He tried to prove to everybody he didn't believe in God, and his son was dying. And as his son was dying, Voltaire took his hand and he said, "Hang on, son, hang on." And his son looked at him with the glaze of death in his eyes and said, "There's nothing to hang on to. He that believeth on the Son of God shall not be confounded." I've got something to hang on to, do you? And that on which I hang is that which holds me by his grace, Jesus Christ the Lord. We'll not make haste to lay hold of any other foundation, but we shall be found on this foundation, even before the great white throne judgment of God, unshaken. Believing on the Son of God, we shall never have cause for shame, confusion, or consternation. Not in this world, and not in the world to come. When I stand before God, who sees all, who knows all, in that great day, I'll bow my head with reverence and gratitude and thanksgiving, but not with shame. Not with shame. Because I'm built upon the rock, on the rock of God, built on the rock Christ Jesus. God dug down deep and built me on the rock, built upon the rock of God. Why should I fear when the winds sweep by, built upon the rock Christ Jesus? Or shaken be when the waves roll high, built upon the rock of God? Hush, raging billows, at his command. I'm built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, peace be still, neath his loving hand. I'm built upon the rock of God. Praise God for our foundation, sure, built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. No storms can harm our house secure. We're built upon the rock of God. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. The rock holds me. I rest on the rock, and the rock holds me, resting on the rock of God. Oh, may God give you faith in his Son and build you upon the rock so that you never be ashamed or be put to shame or be confounded or make haste or be confused. Oh, God give you now faith in his Son. Amen.